Welcome back to the Daily Thunder Podcast. I'm Ryan Woods. I'm here with my usual guys, Brandon Rabar, Spencer Davis. How are we doing, boys?
Doing awesome, good. Man. We got a week before the draft here. It's a great time.
I just got out of ball, and now I'm ready to talk about ball. Ball is life. Let's do this.
We are exactly 1 week away. Well, recording this late Wednesday night, so about a week away from the draft. This might post Friday, who knows, but we are very, very close. That means we need a guest. Tonight we have with us Daily Thunder contributor Aiden Elrod, coming all the way from the West Coast. We are covering three different time zones with this podcast, coming to you from all over the place. Aiden, how are we doing, bud?
Doing pretty good, guys. I'm excited to be here and do some mock drafting.
Absolutely. We are mock drafting tonight. Aiden has been pumping out some really, really interesting profiles on a lot of the guys we're going to talk about tonight. I'm sure he's going to share some of that as we go along, but definitely get to the website and check that out, dailythunder.com, and check out what Aiden Elrod has been putting out. Really good stuff. All right, guys. Thank you. It's time. We've been waiting on this one for a while. We've been holding it off. We wanted to get big board stuff out of the way. Wanted to get a lot of conversation about a lot of players. We've been talking so much offline about this draft, and it's time to, you know, we're holding a lot of this stuff for the podcast. So there will be a lot of surprises, I would imagine. Guys have been prepping. So here we go. I am going to kick us off first because it's a very boring pick and you don't want to hear from me. We're going to get to the other guys for the really, really interesting stuff. I will go first, followed by Spencer, followed by Brandon, and then Aiden, our guest, will hit cleanup. So with the first pick, no shocker here, Victor Wembanyama to the San Antonio Spurs. Gasp, pick yourselves up off the floor. Can't believe it, but yes, Victor, number one. Any comments? Anybody want to just gush about Victor? Welcome him to the Western Conference before we continue.
I will say I'm very excited about for these, you know, these years where we're going to get Victor versus Chet. You know, Vic's obviously a different level of prospect, but I think, you know, Chet's going to be, he's going to get to a point where he can hold his own. And I'm just really excited to see, you know, those matchups, however many times a year, and then in the playoffs eventually, hopefully.
My only hopes were that Wembanyama would go east. That didn't happen, or that he wouldn't get picked by the Rockets. So, hey, 50-50. Win one, lose one.
We were holding our breath. About the Rock.
That was a tough commercial break. I'm not going to lie.
It was. Aiden, did you have any landing spots for Victor that you particularly wanted or didn't want?
Well, I definitely didn't want the Rockets. Yeah. But I was kind of, I mean, if it wasn't going to be the Thunder, I was kind of in a little bit indifferent. But I'm excited to see him in the West just because, like Spencer said, I'm excited to see him play against Chet. They played once before in a really close game at the U19s, and they're two pretty unique players and should be having some great battles, hopefully, in the playoffs.
Something that nobody's I haven't heard anybody mention yet, if the NBA does get a couple expansion teams and they do realign divisions, you know, it would make sense for OKC and the Spurs to end up being in the same division, and maybe we get four Chet versus Wemby games per year. That would be cool.
Mm-hmm. All right, off to number two, the Charlotte Hornets. This will be Spencer Davis making the pick.
All right, this is not what I would do, but it seems like this is going to be Brandon Miller. Jonathan Givony had a report, and maybe it was in some other places the last couple of days, that Scoot Henderson had a very impressive workout in Charlotte. not really buying that. I think this is going to be Miller. And so even though I have Scoot in like a different tier, but I think this is going to be Miller. So I'll go with him.
Spencer, how did we get here? Here as in Scoot is like good. Scoot would go number one in almost every draft except for this one too. He's probably not going to be in the first two picks.
Because the Charlotte Hornets are run by Mitch Kupchak, who was a great general manager like 15, 20 years ago. Like he's the guy that engineered a lot of those Lakers teams that Kobe won titles with. And he's still, you know, I mean, the press conference he gave the day after the lottery was, you know, we're good enough that we don't, you know, that we can draft for fit and we don't have to take best player available. And that's so that's when you know. And I think he's just at this point is in over his head a little bit. And, you know, they do have another point guard technically with LaMelo Ball. Now, I think that LaMelo and Scoot could play together. It would be fine, especially given that LaMelo is, what, like 6'7"? I think it'd be a great fit. I think it'd be a really fun backcourt. But, yeah, I mean, like, dumb franchises do stupid things. Like, Luka, three teams passed on Luka, you know, and everyone knew in the moment that was a mistake. I think this is kind of a similar thing with Scoot possibly falling to three.
This one's very tough for me. Tough as in like I can't believe it's going to happen. It does seem like it's going to happen, but I'm very surprised. Brandon, do you think this is going to happen?
I think that the Hornets are crazy if they choose Brandon Miller over Scoot, honestly. And I don't know. You know, everybody thought that Jabari was locked in as the number one pick last year. That's what we heard all the way up until, you know, 5 minutes before the draft started. So I still think it's 50-50, even though I know every single signal says that it's going to be Brandon Miller. I still give it like a 50-50 chance, like that they'll come to their senses and it'll be Scoot. Plus if there's a chance that somebody jumps up and trades, then it would make sense that it would end up being Scoot.
Brandon's like, fool me once. Well, it's fine. It won't happen again. Brandon's got his antennas up for this. He was rocked by the Paolo Jabari situation. I love it. I love it. Aiden, are you going Brandon Miller here?
If I had a guess.
You mean, sorry.
I was going to say, if I had a guess, yeah. But I personally would choose Scoot for sure.
Okay. So we're all in agreement there.
So although I'm kind of hoping for that Pelicans trade to happen.
Let's talk about that. Who are the teams other like Pelicans kind of out of nowhere are looking to move off of possibly Zion, possibly Brandon Miller, some conflicting, like who would they rather see go reports right now? What does that framework look like, Spencer?
I mean, if I'm New Orleans, I'm not trading Zion, but I would trade Ingram for Scoot for sure, you know, especially given what their cap situation looks like and how expensive that team is about to be. I've never been a huge Brandon Ingram guy. And I think if you can, you know, kind of clear the deck with him, bring in a hyper elite talent with Scoot, and you just hope that Zion can get back to the level of being like an all NBA type of player, which we've seen flashes of, but you know, not enough consistency, obviously. But I think that's their best shot at becoming like a real problem in the West is because, you know, they like this team is about to be so expensive. Like they've got CJ on the books. They're about to have to pay Trey Murphy, what, like $30, $35 million a year. That's coming up pretty soon. They've got to make some moves. And I think it would be smart to try to flip Ingram into Scoot.
And that's,
I think I would even add a pick or two.
That's going up to, you've got that going up to two. So if Charlotte's like locked in on, Miller, is this a trade with the Blazers? Or
I think it makes more sense with the Blazers because Ingram just, you know, he fits with Dame, right? Like the Blazers could sell a Dame, Brandon Ingram, Jeremy Grant trio. I think that works on some level. Charlotte, I mean, who knows what they want, I guess. Like, I mean, I guess they're going to bring Miles Bridges back, and like Ingram fits there too. And Ingram is from North Carolina. So there's some synergy there, but I would prefer like with the Blazers, I think you could sell it a little bit more on in terms of like, you know, you're trying to maximize Damian Lillard's prime. Charlotte should just take Scoot, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. And it seems like there are other teams that may be trying to get one of those two picks, especially if it's for Scoot. If they sniff out that it's, that Charlotte's, you know, maybe unsure and don't want to make the wrong call, maybe they just trade out for a team comes in and just overwhelms them. Kind of thinking about Washington as well. Totally new front office, and seems like Beal is very available, and it's something I wouldn't expect him to waive a no trade clause to go to Charlotte, but possibly Portland.
Possibly, but like, does Dame move the needle for Portland in a meaningful way? I'm not sure that he does, because you're building a defensive backcourt around Dame and Bradley Beal. And then, Simons is probably going the other way, I guess, or is going elsewhere. It's a trickier fit than with Ingram. Bradley Beal, his contract is so,
it's rough.
I'm not even sure. And I'm pulling it up right now. I mean, guys, he has a $57 million player option 4 years from now.
Yeah, Bradley Beal.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, and they have Shaedon Sharpe and they have Simons. Like, Beal doesn't make a lot of sense. Like, if you have the third pick and that's what you cash it in for, that to me, that just doesn't make. But like Siakam, that makes some sense. There's some other options. If Scoot's there and they want to trade for Zion, that could make some sense because Grant can shoot. You could build around that. You could figure that out. But no, I Bradley Beal doesn't make much sense to me. Honestly, and the Hornets are, if I was the Hornets, I would like rank my assets. Like, first, I would choose to pick Scoot. But if I'm not picking Scoot, and I could flip two for Zion, I'd rather have Zion than pick Brandon Miller. Like, but it looks like they're going to go Brandon Miller. It's wild. This is also a rare thing where, Scoot would go number one a lot of times. He might drop to three. And there's also all these teams that are willing to trade back or out of the draft for win now players. It's such a rare mix of things that are happening. We could see some shakeup, or, this thing could go chalk and there's no big trades.
Everything about Charlotte seems backwards. Like, the second pick for them in this draft feels more valuable than anything they have on their team, including LaMelo. Like, I really don't know why this isn't like a slam dunk. We're just taking the best player, or yes, we're going to take a massive offer that includes Zion.
Yeah.
And I don't even know if Zion's available. Like, you know what I mean? Zion's not a player that it becomes available very often.
I mean, that's the smoke. I mean, who knows? This is smokescreen season and, rumor season, whisper season. Other GMs, rival GMs and scouts and, everybody's putting stuff out. Who knows what to believe? But, the streets are saying Zion's available. And if you look at, his injury history, contract situation, and all those things, if I'm the Pelicans, it makes some sense. I would flip Zion for Scoot, quite honestly.
Streets are saying a lot right now about Zion.
Yeah.
We got some rent to pay. I don't know if he can leave New Orleans yet. All right. Where are we? We're three. We're going to Portland. This is Brandon. We're gonna get in trouble here. Go ahead, Brandon.
And so obviously, if Brandon Miller second, and we're not doing trades here because it's too hard to predict, I assume. Portland, whether it's Portland or some other team, it's going to be Scoot Henderson. I mean, there's not much to say here.
I agree. Like, Aiden, what's the play there for Portland if if Charlotte goes Brandon Miller, does that mean Portland immediately trades out of three, or does that, what do you see happening there?
Based on what I've been reading, it seems like they would stay there. It seems like Dame is still trying to be loyal to the franchise. And I think that would, that pair, or just that, that combo would do well. Scoot could potentially be smack dab in his prime when Dame kind of starts to slow down. I think Dame's like 33 now. And so in, you know, 3, 4, 5 years, Scoot will be hitting his peak and can just slide in as a replacement, as the lead guy, and hopefully bring some playoff success to Portland. But I mean, it's kind of hard to come up with a trade because I don't know who's out there who I would trade for Scoot except Zion.
Yeah. Yeah. Spencer, in this position, same question to you. Like, if it's Brandon Miller at two, like, they can definitely sit there and take Scoot. That might be the best play long term.
Yeah.
Is that enough to, like, you know, appease the fan base, appease Lillard? Like, it seems like they've got a lot of different mouths to feed there.
Yeah. I mean, look, they can take Scoot. And if Dame doesn't like it, they can trade him in a few weeks or trade him next year. You know, I mean, they have options, right? It's like taking Scoot, he's probably going to be more valuable in a year. Mm-hmm. So, like, if you need to make a trade, then you can do it then. But, like, you can't – I mean, you certainly can't take anyone other than Scoot in this spot. Your options right. are take Scoot or trade the pick or take Scoot and trade Dame. Or take Scoot and just go with a Scoot, Dame, Shaden Sharp backcourt until you do trade Dame or until, you know, they age out or whatever. That's probably what I would suggest. I think as a Thunder fan, who's a division rival of the Blazers, I would like for them to do anything except take Scoot Henderson in the spot. I think anything would be better from that perspective.
This feels like the pick
that's probably what they should do.
This to me feels like the pick that gets moved, and we're a week away, but this feels like the one as we stand now. If there's one that's getting traded, this feels like the one.
And look, I think Ingram makes sense. I don't think the Blazers should do that necessarily, but he is, I don't know. Is he the best player they could, like, would you rather have Ingram or Siakam? I would hear arguments for either side, I think.
I'd probably have Siakam.
Okay.
But what if the Timberwolves called up and offered Cat?
That's a good one.
That is a good one.
And that actually makes some sense.
Yeah. I don't think I would do that.
Man, yeah, I mean, tough. I'd rather have Scoot long term, but if you're trying to appease Dame, like a Dame, Jeremy Grant, Shaden Sharp, Cat team, Simons mm-hmm. in there too. Like that actually, I mean, obviously you'd have to send, probably have to send Simons out to match salaries with Cat, throw in some other whatever, but that actually could make some sense.
I'm worried about like
Scoot and Anthony Edwards would be wild.
That would be a lot of fun. I'm worried about Cat's like approach to, or not approach, but just his like, you know, like how he sees himself, his self-awareness. He said something wild on a podcast this week where he was like, they're going to look back at my career and realize that I changed the game of basketball. It's like, it hadn't happened yet, yeah, man. He's been in the league for a while. I would not say he's on pace for that. And he, you know, he's had some other stuff like that before. It's like, I don't know if that guy really gets it. But maybe he goes to Portland, it's Dame's team, and it works. Who knows? But that is an interesting one.
So far we've got Victor, obviously at one, Brandon Miller, two, Scoot Henderson, three. We're talking a lot of trades here because this is very up in the air who picks two and three. But that's what we've got so far. Now we're going to Aiden, pick four for the Houston Rockets.
Yeah, so not predicting anything at free agency, like a possible James Harden comeback, but at four, I would take Amen Thompson for the Rockets.
What do you like about him?
I think he's an incredible athlete. I think he's a really good passer, playmaker, can generate some easy paint touches and kick it out to open shooters. His defense is pretty good. It's not elite, but it's pretty good. And his jumper is terrible. But I just think he can, at the top of the draft, I want a franchise player. And I think there is an outcome where he is an MVP-ish type player. Just because I think he's like Shea mixed with Jalen Green and is like 6'7". And I just think it's such a unique combo that you can't pass up on it at four.
I'm with Aiden. Guys, where are you at with pick four?
Yeah, I agree. I would take Amen Thompson here. I know Brandon's may have Amen Thompson outside of this top 10 by this point. He's dropping like a rock over there. But yeah, I mean, I said about the Blazers situation and what I want them to do as a Thunder fan, I would love it if the Rockets took Cam Whitmore here, because the idea of like Jalen Green, Amen Thompson backcourt is if they both hit, which is not a guarantee by any means, far from it. But if they both hit, that's like the most dynamic backcourt in the league. And I don't want any part of that. So yeah, I think Thompson's the right pick.
Brandon, yeah, I mean, you seem like the dissenting voice. Where are we going here?
No. I want the Rockets to take him in, Thompson, because I have him like down to like number 9. And that's only because of like peer pressure. Everybody says I have to have him in my top 10. So, no, I mean, as Aiden said, the jumper is just so bad. And look, I know he's an otherworldly athlete. I know he's a decent defender and he's a good playmaker. I just don't know with, and here's the deal. You know, everybody knows he was 20 years old playing against high schoolers and still just was not in my mind as dominant as I'd like him to be. But still, I do agree. If you're picking four, you want that upside, you want that ceiling, and you want, you know, a possible superstar. And I do think that he is those things. So yeah, it makes sense, but you know, good luck Rockets.
Just a quick counterpoint about the competition level. He has played in like other games. Like he played in a game against Mega Basket, who plays in the Adriatic League, and he had like 18, 10, 9, 5, and 5. And then he played in the TBT tournament, and he played well against grown men. OTE is definitely you know, not the best competition, but I think he has, you know, a handful of games against some tougher competition where he was able to showcase what he could bring to the NBA.
Brandon's like, well, Brandon, how would you compare his competition to like the plumbers and firemen that like he used to play against?
I agree actually with what Aiden's saying. I'm just saying I would be worried if I was the team with the number four pick taking Amen Thompson. You know what I'm saying? I think, you know, I'd feel obviously better about Victor and Scoot and Brandon Miller. There's a reason why they're top three. You know, but once you get past that, most of, you know, the players in this draft have, you know, a discernible weakness, and for a man it's shooting. I don't know. It's rough. I mentioned this, I think, in our last podcast, and I can't get over it because I saw his jumper and somebody said it looks like he's shooting like a half court heave when he shoots a three pointer. And that's what it looks like. I don't know. He'll be a good player, I think, but I would be worried if I was taking him at four. That's all I'm saying.
last thing before we move on, Spencer, better prospect coming into the draft, Ivy or Amon Thompson?
That's a fun blindside. I would say I'm more confident that Ivy is like going to be a good player, but I lean upside wise, I would lean Amon Thompson just because of the top 1% athleticism. Definitely a better passer too in the half court, at least his prospects. If you're looking for more of a sure thing, like I think it's reasonable to go with Ivy. It's a good comparison.
Athletically, I remember Ivy just popped, especially among the like top tier guys in last year's class.
Yeah.
But I think Thompson is like another dude.
Yeah. Like Thompson, I mean, Aiden may be able to speak to this better, but like, it seems like he's a jaw level athlete. Like, is going to be like an immediate problem. Whereas like Ivy is a very good athlete and can get above the rim and can get out on the break, but like maybe is not as much of a walking paint touch in the half court.
Yeah. I had Ivy at 2 last year and I would take Amon. Draft people who I follow have called Amon the best basketball athlete they have ever scouted. I think he's such an incredible mover. He has like a 43-inch vert. He just like glides out on the floor, and and he's also at least compared to Ivy, he's like 3 inches taller, and that's just a big advantage.
All right, let's go to 5. This is the Detroit Pistons. This is kind of how I thought the board would fall to me. And thus, I'm going to take Jairus Walker at 5 for the Detroit Pistons. I'm hoping
it's a punch.
I'm hoping here that the shot like develops. Like I've got my Pistons hat on. I had to dust it off, but I'm hoping the shot develops because I'm envisioning Jalen Duren and Jairus Walker playing together a bunch. And I don't think that's going to be all that fun if Jairus Walker can't hit at least a corner 3. So, but I do think everything else that he does is such a great fit for a front court that needs to like boot out a bunch of guys that like really shouldn't be there. So going with Jairus Walker there at 5.
I feel like they're going to take either Cam Whitmore or Asar Thompson. And as somebody who hopes that the Thunder can trade up for either Jairus Walker or Taylor Hendricks, I hope the Pistons don't take Jairus Walker. That's my only input.
Same. Yeah. Hoping, I think you gotta hope Jairus, if you're a Thunder fan, you gotta hope Jairus gets past 5. I mean, Jairus is in the spot on my board. I don't think this is a bad pick at all. But I just, yeah, you know, we'll see how it goes. Detroit has a hole there. He would be really fun, I think, with Cade and Ivy and playing off of Duren a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think it's a bad pick at all. I just don't think they'll, I hope they don't do it. Sorry, Aiden, go ahead.
No, I was going to say that I like the fit too. They've been trying to like play Isaiah Stewart as like a stretch 4, and it has not panned out. I think Jairus fits really well there. He can do some short roll passing off of Cade and Ivy. But yeah, hopefully he can shoot, or else it might be rough initially.
That's a spot that we've talked about moving up to. Other teams maybe looking at 5. There just seems to be guys that really would fit there in that range. I don't know that Detroit's going to move out of that spot. All right, 6. We're going back to Spencer here with the Orlando Magic.
Man, I was expecting to be deciding between Asar Thompson and Anthony Black here. And it may be a little early for Anthony Black, but I do think Orlando could use a connector like him. But I have to go with Cam Whitmore. Highest upside on the board by at least a considerable amount. I mean, you could argue that Sarah Thompson is a similar upside, I guess. But Whitmore, guy with a lot of shooting potential, a lot of burst, a lot of athleticism, probably an underrated defender. I think, you know, was not serviced too well by his freshman year at Villanova. And I think that, you know, he had a rough year, was playing for a different head coach than he had committed to. It was kind of just a brand new experience for everyone there after Jay Wright retired. But I think you have to go Whitmore here to Orlando, even though you've got a bit of a clog of forwards, with Paolo and Franz there, obviously. But I think Cam's probably a three. And you just try to make it work. I think that's what I would do. And then Orlando does have the 11th pick. And, at that pick, I would be targeting a point guard like a Cason Wallace or a Kobe Bufkin if he's still there. But I think you go highest upside here and take Cam Whitmore at six.
Interesting. I have yet to see him. I just haven't seen him mocked there much. I see more Asar.
I don't think people are expecting Cam Whitmore to get to six. I mean, I agree with you. I haven't seen it a ton of places, but like, you know, Cam Whitmore has been talked about it at four some, certainly it's been talked to, a little bit with Detroit. Mm-hmm. But he could fall to six. I thought it was interesting. He was, Sam Vecenie released his draft guide today and he was at number three ahead of Brandon Miller on Sam's draft guide.
Brandon, what do you think about Whitmore to Orlando?
Yeah, I think if this scenario were to happen and Jarris goes at five, I think that they would jump on Whitmore. I think that the Pistons at five are probably taking Whitmore if the Rockets don't. I do think the Rockets will take him in. Then I think it'll go Whitmore at five. And I think that Orlando will go with Sar at six. But if they have the choice of Whitmore and Asar, I mean, I think that they jump on Whitmore for sure.
All right.
And then there's a world where Detroit takes Asar too.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be sick if the Twins were to go back to back.
I think the issue with Asar to Orlando is the shooting, right? And it's similar with Anthony Black, I guess. But maybe even more pronounced with Asar because you're not totally sure that Asar can be their point guard, like their primary, primary offensive engine type of guy in the way that Anthony Black probably could. But I think Orlando needs spacing. I mean, we've talked about Grady and Jordan Hawkins on this podcast being fits there before. And Cam gives you that little bit more upside in that department.
Is Orlando just praying that a man falls to them? Is he like the perfect player to take as their one?
Other than the shooting, but yeah, like that would be, if they could get somebody that athletic, that dynamic, and maybe they even look to move up, who knows? But yeah, Amen would be an interesting fit there for sure because they've been looking for a point guard for so long. Is your last good point guard like Jameer Nelson? I mean,
Fultz is pretty good.
Fultz is pretty good, but he's not.
I was going to say, Fultz.
He's never going to make an all-star team. Like, they need, you need, like, and if, you're trying to win the title, presumably, at some point down the line, like, you need, in today's NBA, you need to have, a legit point guard. And it's been a while since they've had one.
All right, I'm excited about seven. Brandon, we're going to you for the Indiana Pacers.
I think that I truly think they'll be deciding between Jarris Walker and Taylor Hendricks here because I think they'd like a four in the front court next to Miles Turner. They got Tyrese, they got Benedict Mathurin. I think a four is perfect. So I would normally go either Jarris or Taylor here. Jarris is gone. I don't think that they would pass up the upside with Asar Thompson, though. I think if Asar were to fall into their laps at seven, like it has here, I think they'd pick him. And this might kind of course correct to leave one of the two of Taylor Hendricks and Jarris Walker later on. So, I'll go Asar Thompson here.
Very interesting. Spencer, what were the odds of him not taking Taylor Hendricks there?
Well, I think this is just a ploy from Brandon to make
I'm smelling it. I'm smelling it. Yeah.
I'm clocking this from a mile away, Brandon. I don't know. No, I'm kind of kidding. Like, I think Asar's a decent pick here, or a good pick. Who are their building blocks, right? Like, they've got Halliburton and I guess Mathurin, you would say, is a building block given where they took him in the draft last year. Adding another dynamic guy to their backcourt is a good idea. I think Hendricks would have been a good fit too, but upside wise, yeah, I think I would agree that Asar gives him more.
All right.
I like the fit of Asar. I'll just comment. I like the fit of Asar too, because Mathurin is, or at least last year, he was horrible on defense. And I feel like Asar can bring some size on the wing and some defense, because Mathurin, he's like, what, 6'5 maybe? And I feel like they kind of need like a true wing too. Tyrese is such an amazing passer. I feel like he Asar, Mathurin could really thrive in transition too, which would be super exciting.
Andrew Nembhard, another guy that was kind of emerged for them last year as a rookie and looks like at least I don't know if he's a core piece, but he's a keeper, at least for the short term on the wing.
Yeah. I like Isaiah Jackson too.
Man, oh, we were fans. We were fans a couple years back, Isaiah Jackson. All right, he's going to Washington Wizards. Aiden, where are we going with Washington Wizards?
This is a tough one. I think I'm not a huge fan of Anthony Black, personally. I think at this pick, I think I'm going to take Cason Wall or no.
Oh,
I'm going to take Taylor Hendricks, I think.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Yeah, so we're not going guard. You don't like any of the guards enough to take them there at eight.
I don't think any of them are lead ball handlers, which is what they want. And I can't see into the future, but did you guys get a story about how they want to go into like a Thunder style rebuild? I feel like they would just take the best player on their board.
I like it.
I like it as well. Aiden's like, nah, you can't handle it. You can't handle it. You're not coming here, son.
Hendricks is my guy. Like that.
I love sticking to the guns.
Hendricks has been my guy.
Brandon's night, Aiden.
Yeah.
There is no way Hendricks is going to fall to the Thunder. And in this one, we're not going to do any trades. But I will say, I think that the most realistic trades for the Thunder are the Wizards at eight, the Jazz at nine, and a little bit less so with the Jazz, just because they have 16 as well. And then the Mavs at 10. But I really like the fit with the Wizards at eight, because like Aiden said, they want a lead ball handler, but they probably go best available, but they don't have any future draft picks. And if they're wanting to go Thunder style, that means collect all draft picks. And if Will Dawkins and Winger are of that Sam Presti mindset, and Sam Presti calls up and Taylor Hendricks or Jairus Walker is there, and they're offering 12 and, you know, a future first, you know, maybe that's the deal that gets done. If we're looking at like kind of realistic deals, I think for the Thunder, I think that's where it could possibly happen, because they're going to have their choice of guard still at 12.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And it seemed, I mean, I think going back to Aiden's pick of Hendricks, that, you know, if they're going down that road, Porzingis might be on the move. And if Kuzma opts out, like, there are minutes in the front court that they could get him immediately. If they go down that road, I think Hendricks would be a very interesting player in Washington.
Hendricks is awesome.
we have touted Taylor Hendricks quite a bit on this podcast, and we will continue to. I will say this is where the draft would get really fun if Oklahoma City gets up there to eight. Because it would seem to be for maybe a falling Jairus Walker or a guy like Hendricks. I think these two guys, they just clearly fit a position and a skill set that would be able to play pretty much immediately. Maybe not start immediately, I don't know, but play immediately. And I think both guys would be very interesting. I would be excited for both. All right, nine. I've been left with the guards of my choosing for the Utah Jazz. I'm going to go just with the bigger guy in Anthony Black. I totally agree with Aiden, not in love with the loose handle, but I do love the wingspan as much as I wish it was more like Scoot Henderson. It's not, but it's not terrible. He's a big guard. I like the passing, the defense, the ability to control the game speed wise. Big fan. Love the way he reads the game as well. Quick processor. I'll take Anthony Black for the Utah Jazz. I think he'd be able to play multiple positions if they need him to right away, but long term, I think they could give him the ball.
Yeah, I like it. I think you know, we talked about this in the last podcast, so we were not huge fans of Anthony Black as a fit on the Thunder, but we were, you know, at least moderately sized fans of him in general. Your mileage may vary a little bit. Mm-hmm. But I think that in a situation like Utah, where he can come in, play with other like legit pros like Lauri Markkanen, you know, you got another awesome rim protector in Walker Kessler, like you've got a chance to have a really good defense there for a long time. And I think that, you know, they've got enough, you know, the spacing with Black and Kessler might get a little bit complicated. But I think they've got enough shooting on the wings where they can build the team around kind of that issue with and have three other good shooters out there that you can make it work.
All right, let's go to 10, Dallas Mavericks. This is back to you, Spencer.
Yeah. This is so interesting because it's like, is Dallas going to be making this pick? Probably not, right? I just have to go with the highest guy left on my board, and that's Grady Dick. I think Grady would be with his level of shooting is a great option to play off of Luka and Kyrie, the spacing that he would bring, his movement shooting, and then I think his passing is really good as well. The reason why he's falling to 10 here, at least to 10, is there are some concerns about his defense long term. To me, like, he's a big guy, 6'7", 6'8". I don't think you're going to be able to bully him. But you know, you could throw some questions out there about like a team with trying to build around Luka and Kyrie. Are they really going to take another forward that's not a plus defender? And maybe that's one reason why they wouldn't do this. But I think that offensively, it's a really clean fit. And yeah, he's just simply the best player that I've got on my board here.
I think they'll go Lively. I think they got to have defense and they got to have a big. To me, I feel like the Mavs are hoping it's either going to be Jairus Walker, Taylor Hendricks, and if neither of them, then it's Lively. And I think those are the only three guys they would pick. Other than that, I think they would try to trade down or trade out. Personally, that's my feeling on it.
My thought is, like, can't you get like a defense first center? Like, couldn't you just go trade for Jakob Poeltl or something and then draft somebody with a high upside with a 10th pick?
I mean, I would, but
yeah,
I don't know. They don't really have any assets, though, either, besides, I guess, Hardy.
That's fair. It's a good point.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
It's like a trade really down is coming.
Yeah, trade down could happen. Trade down to 12 could happen.
Mm-hmm.
pick up a few seconds, shed a contract maybe.
Brandon, if we were to go up to 10 here, given how this draft has gone, who would you hope they take?
If they go up to 10 here, I think the only ones that you would trade up for would be Grady Dick or Cason Wallace. But at this point, it feels like one of those is going to fall to you. I would think that the Magic would probably take Grady at 11 because of the shooting. Maybe you just wait at 12 for Cason Wallace. So I feel like if you're going to move up to 10, it would probably be for Grady Dick, given how this has fallen. You hope that Hendricks or Walker is there. Mm-hmm. But if not, I think it'd be Grady.
All right, going to 11, Orlando Magic. Where are you going with this, Brandon?
With Grady gone, I think that like Spencer said earlier, they need shooting desperately. I guess Jordan Hawkins. I don't personally, have him ranked quite this high. Not too much farther down. I think given the way the board is, I think they'd look at Jordan Hawkins, maybe Keontae George, but I think they would go Hawkins here.
I'm a big Hawkins guy. Aiden, how do you like Jordan Hawkins?
Not that big of a fan, to be honest. He's definitely an incredible shooter. He's the best movement shooter in the class by far. He can really like contort his body in the air and come off screens like that, but he's only 6'4". I think he can only guard ones, if that. He's not the most athletic. He can't really do much inside the arc, and in my opinion either. His finishing was so-so. But he's a really good shooter. And with the Magic, I mean, yeah, he definitely fits well. I bet they wish that they could have gotten Grady, but he fits what they need well. I don't think I would take him this high, but I could see it being a justifiable pick.
All right, 12. This is the Thunder, and it's going to the guest. Aiden, where are we going with number 12?
Yeah, I was really hoping Grady would fall here. So now I'm kind of in a conundrum here. This is tough because there's just like a big cluster of players that I'm not really sure who to choose. I guess I would take Cason Wallace here at 12 for the Thunder.
Yes, there you go. Love it.
Just broke my heart, Aiden.
Brandon, Brandon's back in.
That is the right pick. I would love for Cason Wallace to fall at 12 for the Thunder, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah, he's such a good he's so good on the defensive end. He's not that tall, but he's really strong. He's built really well. I could see how maybe it would be weird positionally because the Thunder still wouldn't have like a proper four. I know that Giddy's like 6'8", but he's not up to snuff as a four yet. But I feel like Cason is I think I heard Brandon like bring this up, but I think he's a better Dort, and I think that would be really valuable on this team.
Yeah, I'm all in on Cason Wallace. Like you said, the hope is that you get a four in this draft: Jairus Walker, Taylor Hendricks. In a trade up, maybe. In the perfect world, Hendricks falls down to 12. I like Leonard Miller as a kind of a fallback. But if Cason Wallace was there, I just think he's too good to pass up. And I think that he could fit, he could lead the bench, he could close with the starters. I think he just fits really, really well. The Thunder want, at this point, if you can get a guy that's a two-way player, he can be elite defensively and still be really good. And, he's a guy that, I think he's underrated as a playmaker and a passer and a scorer and a shooter. I just think he's got a good all-around game. And, yeah, I agree with Aiden. His one kind of downfall is his height. But that's kind of the only reason he'd even be available here. If he was taller, I think that he's certainly a top pick. And he's got a 6'9 wingspan, so he can kind of overcome some of that as well. Big fan.
Aiden, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
How far away, like taking out the Thunder context of this, just like pure talent, how far away do you think Kaysen and Leonard Miller are? Like, are those close players to you?
They would probably be in the same tier for me, yeah.
Okay. That makes sense. I mean, I think I've made no secret that that I prefer Miller to Wallace, which is, you know, I get the Wallace pick too.
Yeah,
some people don't think Leonard Miller is that good. Like Jonathan Givony's mock today had Miller like 26.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was actually choosing between Wallace, Miller, and somebody else. And Miller also would fit really well on this team. He's like an amazing play finisher around the rim. But I just think Wallace is such a – his archetype is more valuable as a stout perimeter guy who can take some spot-up threes, who – inches around the rim really well. And I feel like he's the type of player who can really complement high usage stars like Shea, for example.
Ryan, who would you go with here?
I probably would go Leonard Miller more so for the minutes that seem to be available right away. Especially if he's like really good. But given how the board has fallen, I think it's a more than sensible pick to take Wallace here, for all the reasons you guys have said. I like him a lot. And maybe he's someone that makes Dort. I think Dort is like more entrenched in this starting unit and like in this core maybe than others, but maybe he's just so good that like he kind of makes that trade more possible, I guess. And not that you can't have both, but like I think Kaysen's like upside is like clears Dort. So I don't know what, you know, where that leaves a guy that's like meant to be your ace defender if there's a better version of him on the team.
And that makes sense. I definitely agree that Kaysen is a upgrade over Dort. But I guess what my thought process is like, would you rather upgrade over Dort or upgrade over like Dort or like Arkansas Jalen Williams? Or
right.
Like JRE. Like there's, you know, which is what I would view Leonard Miller as, you know, short term and long term, frankly.
And if we're, if we have hopes of Hendricks or Walker as like a four that maybe moves someone to the bench, like maybe Leonard's like your, you know, store brand version of that.
Yeah. And let's say they take Taylor Hendricks or Jairus Walker or Leonard Miller, any of these fours, and they move Dort to the bench. Well, then, you know, Jalen Williams, J-Dub is kind of your Dort replacement at that point, because he's going to be guarding the other team's best player night to night, at least on the perimeter.
The Thunder defense could be wild if you got Lou Dort, Kaysen Wallace, Kenrich Williams, J-Dub, and Chet Holmgren out there, you know, soaking up a lot of minutes. That could be a lot of fun. I'm just really high on Kaysen Wallace, like his overall talent, ceiling, upside. I have him 6 overall on my board. Like, I am really, really high. So to me, it's just like a value talent pick. Even if it's not the best fit, I'd have a hard time turning Kaysen Wallace on. But I'd be very happy with Leonard Miller. I'd be happy with Kobe Bufkin. I'd be fairly happy with Bilal Coulibaly, Derek Lively. Sorry, I'm just like those guys, like realistically being at 12 without a trade up, there's a lot of good options. Now, there's some other guys who'll be there that, you know, have been mocked to the Thunder that I would not be happy with. But all those guys,
Ben Thompson.
I took like that I totally agree with you, Brandon, in that like the value is there. There are probably teams that have Kaysen as like a top eight guy. He's very, very good. Played, what would you say, Spencer? Like, I mean, he played decent competition. He played in the SEC. It was a
Yeah, he did. I mean, he shared the backcourt with Sevier Wheeler, who's like a veteran undersized guard for most of the year. The concerning thing with him is that when Wheeler was out of the lineup late in the year, Wallace was not great, at least offensively. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but he was not great over the last 10, 15 games, whatever it was. So that's a concern. But yeah, I mean, the SEC was a really good league. He definitely saw some good competition.
I agree with Spencer in that I don't think he's a lead ball handler, which is why I'm comfortable taking him here, because he can play off of Shea and J-Dub and Josh, who could handle one of those responsibilities.
Totally agree. All right, 13, the Raptors. The Raptors made a coaching hire that I felt like signaled more of a long-term approach. Love the hire, but I do think it signals like maybe we're taking a step back and we're going to start building something different. So with that in mind, I'm going Bilal here at 13 for the Toronto Raptors. This is with the thought of Van Vliet moving on and there being a lot of minutes, a lot of opportunity to make mistakes and to trial and error and to figure it out between those first few months for Bilal. So that's what I'm taking here at 13 with Toronto. What do you think about that, Brandon?
Oh, Coulibaly is a very Raptorsy player. Like, you know, everybody talks about how he's a very Thundery player, which I do think, you know, he does fit a lot of the Thunder checkboxes, but the Raptors as well. He's long, he's young, upside. He's a defender. You know, one of the comparisons he gets a lot is OG. So, you know, obviously that's, you know, top end. That's what you really, really hope for. But he makes a lot of sense to the Raptors. And, you know, who knows if he's actually got a promise. There's a lot of talk, but everybody thinks if he does have a promise, it's either OKC or the Raptors. Although the Jazz are looking at him at number 9, which is crazy. I'm not saying that's bad or anything like that. And actually that'd be great for the Thunder because it drops other people down. But yeah, I think this pick makes a lot of sense.
All right, let's go 14, the Pelicans. This is Spencer.
Oh, man. I'm going Kobe Bufkin here. Somebody that I was not a really big fan of. In fact, last time we talked, I basically said I didn't get it. And I still don't totally love the fit with the Thunder for a lot of the same reasons that I don't love it with Cajun Wallace. But I think he's, you know, this guy who's, you know, we saw a picture with him standing next to Shea. He's basically the same size as Shea height-wise. He's not as built yet, obviously. But he can score a little bit, right? Like he can get to a jumper and get to his mid-range. He's a good three-point shooter. He is an elite finisher, at least at the college level. I believe it was over 70% at the rim this year. He's just a really interesting player. He's a good defender. Actually, I have him above Kaysen because of, you know, a little bit more height. Not as much length. Kaysen's Wallace's wingspan is actually a little bit longer, even though he's a couple inches shorter. But I like more of what Kobe Bufkin brings offensively, and I think he brings enough defensively to kind of overcome that. And I think, you know, especially for a team, like I mentioned earlier with the Pelicans, is a team that's getting really expensive. And so maybe you bring in Bufkin, he has a great rookie year, and then you feel like you can try to move off of CJ's salary after this next season. It could be something that they look at.
Brandon, where do you have Bufkin on your – do you have him as a lottery guy on your board?
Yeah, I have him at 13, I believe. Yeah, I like Bufkin a lot. He's he just doesn't have any weaknesses. And, you know, we talked about it off air, but he finishes 71% at the rim. He's a great finisher. He's bigger, I think, than people thought. He's 6'5". I think his shooting, his scoring is a little underrated. He can just kind of do a little bit of everything. He's a pretty solid defender. So I'm big on two-way players. You know, you see in the playoffs, if you're wanting guys that aren't going to get played off the court, you need to be able to contribute, you know, offensively and defensively. That's becoming more and more valuable. And to get a guy like Bufkin, I think at this point in the draft, who's a two-way player, you know, even if he doesn't have, you know, superstar upside, anything like that, I think he's just going to be a good, solid role player. He's a smart player, and I like him. I do.
Aiden, where do you have Bufkin? Do you like him? Are you in or are you out?
Yeah, I don't have a definitive board, but I would take him anywhere between picks 10 and 14. So okay. Yeah, I'm a fan of this fit.
All right, very good. That's 1 through 14. Let's read off what we had. Number one, Victor Wembanyama, no shock. 2, Brandon Miller. 3, Scoot Henderson. 4, Amen Thompson. 5, Jairus Walker. 6, Cam Whitmore. 7, Ausar. Remind me, Brandon, you took Ausar for Indiana.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. I did.
Okay. 8, Taylor Hendricks. That was not a bit. I genuinely forgot for a second. Eight, Taylor Hendricks to the Wizards. 9, Anthony Black to the Jazz. 10, Grady Dick to the Mavericks. 11, Jordan Hawkins to the Orlando Magic. Kayson Wallace, our guest Aiden, giving the Thunder Kayson Wallace. Bilal Coulibaly to the Toronto Raptors. And then Kobe Bufkin was our last pick in the lottery to the New Orleans Pelicans. I want to get one name from each of us as an honorable mention to the lottery, someone that definitely could have gone in those last couple picks that wasn't. I will start. We mentioned him before, but I would not be surprised at all to see Leonard Miller picked in those top 14. The Thunder being a team that could absolutely take Leonard Miller if he's there. I've been seeing Leonard Miller even higher than like in that 10-11 range. So very, very interested in Miller. Feels like he's a riser. We're a week out. So Leonard Miller is my honorable mention. Spencer, what about you?
Okay. Well, you stole mine.
So I figured I'd steal somebody's there.
Yeah, for sure. It would definitely be Leonard Miller for me. In fact, I mean, I'm almost ready to just like declare that I think this is the pick. Like I would be like, I have no right to be this confident, but I just feel very strongly that Leonard Miller is going to be on the Thunder.
That's exciting.
I'm excited to be burned by that, but just what he can do. I mean, like you and Aiden have talked about him already and have listed a bunch of his strengths. He's also really good in transition and on the break as a decision maker in that mold. I think he would be immediately either the best or the second best, a pure athlete on the team. Super high motor as a rebounder, which is perfect next to Chet, especially in matchups where he's facing a bigger center. But I will give someone else, probably will be stealing Brandon's guy here to keep the tradition going. I will shout out Derek Lively as another name. who, you know, Nikola Jokic just won the title in super dominant fashion, and who knows how long it's going to be before anyone can realistically stop him. But if it's going to be somebody that can slow him down, it's going to be someone who probably looks like Derek Lively, who's 7'1", 7'2", 7'7" wingspan, and can really move his feet, really smart, great instincts. Like if you're trying to slow down Nikola Jokic in the Western Conference playoffs, having a guy like Derek Lively is a good bet to take, I think, especially late in the lottery.
Brandon, yeah. Really quick, Miller, Spencer mentioned Miller would be the second best pure athlete. He's talking about right behind Micic, right?
Don't get me started on Meechich. This pod could go really, really long if you get me started on Meechich.
Where would Meechich go in this draft?
If he was like 21 or if he is currently 29?
Current Meechich in all his glory.
I think he would go first round, even though he's 29 years old, late first round, maybe like 30th pick. But no, he's a really, really good player. I don't know if he's going to come over this year. He does have NBA representation now. As far as an agent goes, the stars are lining up. Whether it's as a trade piece or as like a sixth man leading this bench, you know, Meechich and Isaiah Joe and Kenrich Williams, Usman Jang and Bilal Coulibaly leading the Thunder bench to the promised land. I'm here for it.
Oh, gosh. I'm so glad. Yeah. Brandon, go ahead with your honorable mention.
Yeah. So you guys took my two guys, especially I do think that Derek Lively at this point is going to go in the lottery. You know, he's got all the him and Coulibaly have all the buzz right now. They're the kind of the two most hyped guys right now. I'm going to say now I personally would not take him in the lottery, but I will not be surprised to see him go in the lottery. And that's Jalen Hood-Schifino. He's popping up on some legit mock drafts like Jaboni, ESPN one was it Jeremy Weaver Jaboni, they kind of collaborate, but then I think he was on, Jonathan Wasserman's as well. Like, I think he went 9 to the Jazz and one, and he was like 11th. I don't know. I could be mixing those up, but he's top 11 in two of them. And their drafts are typically based on intel and things that they've heard. So obviously some teams must be high on Jalen Hood-Schifino. You know, he's a big guard, like 6'5" as a point guard, really, you know, great feel for the game, smart player, really good defender. You know, the shot is a work in progress, the efficiency work in progress, but I guess teams believe in it. But yes, there's some teams high on him, so don't be surprised if he crashes the lottery.
All right, Aiden, you've been doing a ton of really cool player profiles for the website. I'm very interested to hear your honorable mention because I feel like you probably have a few.
Yeah, so I think my guy would be somebody who's actually fallen in mocks. I saw him in ESPN's today, I think it 32, so out of the first round. He has like some knee problems, which could be a factor in that, but I would be interested in Bryce Sensabaugh, like in the top half of the first round at like anywhere between 11 and 15. I get that, like, on the surface, some people might think he's kind of like a black hole in offense, doesn't really pass. He's kind of like one of those throwback, just, you know, pure scorers. But he was just so good as a scorer that it's kind of hard to ignore. Like, every statistical comp for college players his age, scoring wise, is he's like up there with like the Trae Youngs, the Michael Beasleys. And I mean, Beasley wasn't that good in the NBA, but he was amazing in college. And I think Bryce can just score so easily that, and I think he could score, I mean, it's on the higher end, but I think he could score like 25 a game for like a few years if he hits close to his peak. And I think that's kind of hard to pass up on. Anywhere from, yeah, like 11 to 20.
Spencer, he shot 40.5% from 3 on 4.5 attempts a game this year at Ohio State.
Yeah, I mean, his shot making is great. Like, he's one of the better shot makers in this class, I think. My concern with Bryce has been like the space creation, which is something we saw last year with another Ohio State guy, Malachi Branham. Different players, but like guys that just kind of became like tough shot makers. And like, I think that, you know, it says something to me if you are not able to create space to get open shots at the college level, because then it's like, okay, how are you, you know, you're going to be in some trouble at the NBA. And I'm not saying Bryce can't do that, but I do think that's one reason why he has not been, you know, a consensus lottery level guy. I see the upside because the shooting is really good. He's got pretty good size. I don't know how he is as a defensive prospect. I'm not mistaken, he's suspect there. But he's the shot making is there, and that's arguably the most important trait in today's NBA. So I get it.
Yeah. Yeah, he's definitely bad on defense, and he doesn't have the quickest first step or anything, but he's like, at least Ohio State had him at 235 pounds, which
is he's a big guy.
Really big. I think he's pretty strong, and I think he could, it would be great for him if he could like shed 10 or so pounds and keep that strength, and hopefully, you know, he gets like a couple percentage points quicker. But yeah, he didn't shoot a ton of attempts at the rim, but he shot 49% on over 152 point attempts outside of the rim, which is like unprecedented numbers. That's like KD stuff, and only 18% of those were assisted on. So he's basically he's self-creating. I mean, maybe not in the most ideal way, but he's self-creating his own shots like 80% of the time, and he's hitting them at 50% of the time. That's those are just unprecedented stats that are at least for me, they're kind of hard to ignore.
A lot of those are tough shots, right? Like with a hand in his face, or you know, they're not open shots.
No, he's very good at shooting over contests. Like he shoots like these crazy like 15 foot faders that take this super high arc, and they just kind of roll in the basket like all the time. It's that
late teens range. Like it feels like a guy that, as soon as like Golden State picks him, everyone freaks out that like, oh my gosh, how did this guy fall to them? Because he is a very talented scorer, and like Spencer mentioned, like that kind of rules the day. I'm sure that will be something that translates at least to some level in the NBA. So yeah, I'm a believer after Aiden pitching that. Those are some, I mean, legit impressive scoring numbers.
Yeah, and I think the Lakers pick at 19 or 20. I wouldn't be surprised if they, because I'm pretty sure he went there to work out, and I wouldn't be surprised if they chose him and he has some random 30-point scoring off the bench, and then yeah, he's like the next mainstream guy. Everyone,
the next Austin Reeves.
Yes, but Austin's good though. So I mean,
yeah. Lakers. It's just funny being in Oklahoma that like Austin Reeves has become like a Timothy Chalamet was wearing an Austin Reeves jersey the other day.
I saw that.
Lakers pick at 17. Lakers pick at 17. Miami at 18. Golden State 19. Like those are all teams that are well established and could easily insert scoring off the bench as a with a wing guy like that. All right, guys, this was fun. Lottery mock draft in the books. Aiden, we can't say thank you enough for, first of all, the work you're doing on the website. It's phenomenal. Everybody go check it out, and for joining us on the podcast, man. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me. I had a great time talking to some prospects. Super excited for the draft to come up soon.
Absolutely. We'll be back to talk about the draft on draft night. Probably get some Twitter spaces fired up, and a podcast to react to it after the fact. Brandon Spencer, you guys know, you guys already have a first round promise from me always and forever. Thank you boys very much for the time.
Absolutely. And also want to add, thank you, Aiden, for choosing Kaysen Wallace. That's a great debut. That's a great debut to the Daily Thunder podcast. Well done.
You lost.
We got to bring us. We got to bring a fifth on to break the tie because Ryan and I both said Leonard Miller. So
yeah, we'll see about that. Aiden totally lost Brandon when he took Hendricks to the Wizards and then reeled him right back in with Kaysen. So well done. Fair play there by Aiden. Everybody, thanks for listening. Enjoy the draft. We will we'll be back to discuss it. All things Thunder draft. Who knows? It might be a really, really exciting night for the Thunder. And we'll be back to talk about it. So thanks so much for listening. This is the Daily Thunder Podcast.